This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 4th of January, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. It's Thursday. That means it's a Culture Thursday. I dragged Mr. C.A. Nuri in studio with me so we could practice some culture. I've got some live reads to start the show, and we have a ticket giveaway for the Nassau Cruz Port Zaymar Productions Phil Stubbs live concert this weekend, Saturday, January the 13th. So let's get the show started. With the Sand Dollar on the clock giveaway live read. We're giving away Sand Dollars again. Every week, six listeners can win 30 digital Bahamian dollars if they get the correct answer and have a digital wallet. When you call in, give the producer your name and cell number and wallet provider. Include wallet provider and custom name in texts. Download a digital wallet right now because every Tuesday and Thursday you can be a winner. Another live read, the Sand Dollar merchant list is growing. If you're looking for more places to spend the digital Bahamian dollar, visit sanddollar.bs/merchant list to view a list of verified merchants in New Providence, Grand Bahama, and the Family Islands. If you're a business owner and you'd like to join the Sand Dollar merchant list, contact 302-9880 or sdau@centralbankbahamas.com. That's sdau@centralbankbahamas.com. And now for the most exciting live read of the morning. Nassau Cruz Port presents Phil Stubbs Live at the Amphitheater on Saturday, January the 13th. Join Phil Stubbs, Nishi LS, and Iris Store and the Spank Band for an amazing night of pure Bahamian music, sponsored by Collect and Ron Ricardo. General admission, $50. VIP, $75. Sky Pods also available. Get your tickets now at bahamastickets.com. That's Phil Stubbs and friends live at Nassau Cruz Port on Saturday, January the 13th. Don't miss it. Well, it's a Culture Thursday, and let's start the show with our ticket giveaway. Nassau Cruz Port and Zaymar Production giving away a pair of tickets to one winner. And here is, well, let me give out the numbers to call before I throw out the trivia question. That's 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for Family Island residents. The text line is 422-GR96, that's 422-4796. But today's giveaway is for call-in answers only. We're not doing the trivia on the text line this morning. We're doing call-in answers. Again, the numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. Here is the question. Well, let's take that call, producer. Nothing there, okay. Here is the question to win a pair of tickets to the Phil Stubbs concert this Saturday, January the 13th. Saturday, January the 13th. Here is the question. What island was Phil Stubbs on when he got the inspiration for the song West End Move? What island was Phil Stubbs on when he got the inspiration for the song West End Move? Producer, let's take this call. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning. Is it Grand Bahama?
It is Grand Bahama. That is the answer to the question. Phil Stubbs was on the island of Grand Bahama when he got the inspiration to write the song West End Move. Do you know any more about that story, sir?
No, just that.
Okay, so before you hang up, I have to transfer you to the producer. I'm going to need you to give the producer your name, your cell phone number, or the best contact way to contact you, and an email address. You're going to go to the amphitheater at the Nassau Cruise Port, identify yourself, your name will be on the list.
All right, excellent.
Absolutely. Producer, take this call for me and then transfer me to the next call, please. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Was it Grand Bahama?
The answer is Grand Bahama, but someone got the prize before you, consolation prize, one world-famous rum finger from Seasonal Sunshine, Bahamas. If you get the answer correct, you have to come and pick it up from the Dungalik Farmers Market this Saturday. Are you ready? You want to play?
Go ahead.
Do you know the story of West End Move? Why Phil Stubbs wrote the song?
I can speculate, but I don't know the answer.
The answer is in a Nassau Guardian article written by Ms. Siobhan Moss in the month of October in preparation for his October concert. So you could try and answer it now, or you could go and do some Googling and call back.
Well, I like to say I'll speculate. I don't know the answer, but I'll speculate.
Okay.
The West End Move song inspired by the neglect of the island?
No. No. It's a lighter story than that.
All right, cool. Thank you so very much.
No, man, thank you very, very much. We've got a winner for the pair of tickets to the Phil Stubbs concert this Saturday, January the 13th. January the 13th. Producer, play that song, West End Move. You could continue right where you stopped if you're still there.
He say, come here, let me show you how we does go. Cause when you come to West End, you might meet old Joe. Now here is a story about this man, so you would better understand. You see, up in the bight, that's where them people are so nice. There once was a boy, he never had many toys, but oh, he could dance, oh, he could prance. Get him in a circle, watch that old boy dance. He got a West End move, he got a West End groove, he got a West End move, he got a West End groove.
Tell the story right there in the song. West End Move was written after Phil Stubbs, on his night off, he was a dealer. What do you call, what's the fancy name for dealers? Coupier. He was
coupier.
A coupier in the hotel. And he was on his day off. And on his night off, he still played. He still worked. He says he's playing in a club in West End. And said, I think this woman was on the dance floor dancing. And this man, and she's dancing. And this man came in. He said the two of them just came together like a moth and a flame. And they danced the whole night away. And he said, boy, they could dance. They were the only dancers in the place that night. It's a fascinating story. And it turns out that Phil Stubbs is one of our premier storytellers. So we're going to have some Phil Stubbs music this morning as we go through the show, but I want to put two topics on the table for discussion, Mr. Newry. One is heavier than the other. The first is 3 days, 4 homicides, and 1 traffic fatality. It's very, very heavy. But this is where we are. It's day 4 of the new Gregorian year, 2024 AD. And we've already had 4 homicides and 1 traffic fatality. So I'm opening the phone line if people want to talk about that. Because even though we, the general public, may not be directly linked to the victims of these horrific events, these homicides, we also experience trauma and grief because of it. So if people want to call in and talk about it, strategies, solutions, you know, what you see going wrong, what you see going right, I'm opening the line to that this morning. I see we got a caller on the line. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Morning, Leon. How are you, man?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. I called earlier. I don't like to be too much of a corner caller, right?
Yes, ma'am.
I just didn't finish saying what I had to say.
Okay.
I wanted to say this in with Carlos Reed and Screech. I'll say on the radio, but I'll mention it now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they're listening, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mr. Reed started to say something. I don't know if you listened to the show earlier.
I was unable to catch it.
Okay. He was saying a program that the PLP had put in place, the afternoon come on and they canceled.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. They got his review and cancel the program.
Stop, review, cancel,
yeah. They cancel the program. It's working fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is wrong, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's straight up politics.
Yeah.
Now, I know under the leadership of the former National Security Minister, Mr. Marvin Daines, right?
Mm-hmm.
He also put in a program, and if it's not canceled, it sure ain't look too active to me. Okay?
Okay.
So I wanted to put that before him and ask him, because I know he would know if the NNWC, you know what that is right, Aaron? That's the National Neighborhood Watch Council.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes, yes. Yep.
That program, Aaron, I'm not talking with no one, say to me. I know for a fact that was working. Why? Because prior to that program, we used to have, we have an association, and Crime Watch was like an armed to the association, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that put our Crime Watch in the community dismantled when the NNWC come in effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it came under the government. So the police and the community was working hand in hand together,
mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
We had, they had given us patrol cars for the, because we know, because we used to have monthly meetings.
Mm-hmm.
We connect community to community. That program, trust me when I say that, neighbors, nosy neighbor working, that was working to the teeth.
Nice. I got you.
It's quiet. Now, don't, I'm not saying it's dismantled, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe, who knows? But if it's still active, I hear nothing. I see nothing. Okay. Were you familiar with that program?
Yeah. Yes, I'm familiar with it. There's a vibrant...
Is it still active now?
It is still...
And Kino Wong does something?
Yeah, Kino Wong is the
president of some...
the chairman of the National Council of Neighborhood Watches. And they've been raising some concern, I think, about a like almost like a withdrawal of resources. But it is still
active. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, ma'am, I know. It is still...
So why do that? Why every time they have to do that?
Well, listen...
So don't, Mr. Ray, don't come telling me nothing about no F&M this... PLP, FNM, all alike. The PLP did the same thing. Because this program, Aaron, was working perfectly.
Thank you, ma'am.
We used to have all kind of police resources, the vehicles. They used to be throughout the community, you understand?
Yeah, ma'am.
When you hear something, person will get on their feet in this monthly meeting, and they will tell you what's happened in that community. We have, Aaron, like, we still don't do it. But person are not as, you know,
active, yeah.
To do what I say was, because the police had pulled away, the vehicles had pulled away.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. And I think you're...
I could say more, but I would not. Okay.
And thank you much. And just the act of sharing your concerns, right, is a part of the strategy. The government needs to hear the public speak as well as the direct stakeholders. So not just the officers of the organization, but when the public come to the public and say, hey, we're concerned because this program was working and we know it was working because we, the people, were working it. That's the types of responses that the state needs to hear. They need to hear it, and they need to hear it in the public. So you write a letter, that's great. You follow up with emails, that's great. But also share your concerns publicly. Let's go to the next call. Oh, good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning. How you doing this morning?
I'm good, thank you, sir.
You know, you want solutions, is that what it's...
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, good. We got to get rid of Huckleberry Finn and begin to tell a different story.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could try a story. Just follow me with this. Suppose I were to approach a five-year-old and say, look, guess what? There are two of you, you know. There was one that was conceived that stayed in heaven. And there was one that came through 9 months later and doing a bunch of crap. Now, mm-hmm. when you leave, when God shows up on you, you get an opportunity to meet the one that stayed in heaven. And you get to compare lives. And you would experience the deepest darkness, hell, if you lived on earth, the most potent, venomous creature. Because you would see what you could have been perfectly. And this prodigal son story tells it clearly in the Bible. The one that was left in heaven was the one that was conceived. That was still the same one that went out into the world through birth. Stories like that, they would dream about.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you very much. I love that idea, changing the narrative, right? When he said Huckleberry Finn, I got very excited. Because we are stuck in a narrative, right? We're still stuck in a colonial narrative where we see ourselves as lesser than, as the counterculture. And we need to shift our story where we see ourselves, what's the word, as the protagonists of our own story, right? We in charge of ourselves. And this is not just in relation to the bad boys, because we got some bad adults out here as well. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Hello, Ms. Green.
Good morning, Sparky. How you doing?
Good morning, man. If you'll give me a moment here. That incident that happened yesterday on Prince Charles, I know that disturbed the country. In the middle of the day, I know you normally give me a chance to voice my opinion. Don't let Mr. Louis touch the button, please.
I read next door.
Mr. Louis, please give me a break.
I try my best.
You do it on your show. But anyway... Miss Green?
Yes, sir.
What happened yesterday in the middle of the day while traffic is moving up and down the street? A killing of two people with children in the car, plus bullets spraying towards another lady's car, put the island in a frenzy yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
All last night I was so upset, so disturbed with my country. It's so different from when I grew up and your Uncle Steve and Daddy-O and all of them grew up. But what I'm seeing now in my country, my Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the prettiest little country in the world, the earth, I should say, suppose that it happened down in the middle of Bay Street. Because these young men, when they coming at you, they don't care where you are. It showed me yesterday that they don't care where you are in the middle of the day, 10 o'clock in the morning, while traffic moving up down. Suppose that would happen on Bay Street in the front of tourists, and a tourist was struck with a flying straight bullet while all of Bay Street was full of tourists yesterday, because I went down Bay Street yesterday. There was lined up all the shops, all the ships must be in town. Suppose that would happen. What do you think would happen to our tourism culture with the international world when them boats say, we can't pull up to that dock no more. We're going to Jamaica, Puerto Rico, someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot do that no more. Would we rely on banking? Would we be able to start growing tomatoes now? Are we still be importing tomatoes? Would we be able to afford to live anymore in the country? Can we afford to live now? What you think of our economy just crashed? I think it's time, Ms. Green, if you're still listening to me. Hello?
I'm still listening, Sparky.
I think it's time, and I can speak out loud for the Bahamian people. It's time for our leader. I don't care if you're PLP, FNM, COI, UBP, GGG, whoever you is. It's time for the leader of the country to have a national address. He can't stop no crime. The Commissioner of Police can't stop no crime. They normally pull up to the scene and put a yellow tape up after the body is on the ground in a pool of blood. But I think it's time, and I'm calling for my prime minister, my schoolmate, my valley boy, to call a national address to speak to this nation.
Thank you, Sparky.
To speak to the parents, to speak to the religious leaders, to tell these young children, to tell the police where these children hiding their guns, under the floor, under the pillow, in the attic, somewhere. Speak to this nation, Mr. Prime Minister, please.
Thank you, Sparky. So, Sparky, thank you very much for sharing those sentiments. I think a lot of Bahamians feel the same way as you do.
To have the Prime Minister speak? You started. You should let it slide, and then you pause.
No, the earlier part, the okay. sentiment okay. shared about okay. The response to what happened yesterday afternoon, the disparity in levels of violence when Sparky was a young man, and today when you and I are less younger people. I appreciate all of that, and I think others do as well. I do want to say, though, that I think that when the Prime Minister addresses us, and we're due for a national address, a New Year's address, right? We're due for that. But when the Prime Minister addresses us, he has to address us as a whole, Sparky, right?
What you want the Prime Minister to say?
Well, first of all, I like your tone. They can start here. The government can reduce crime.
Okay, how? I mean, they're using all their resources. They come up with new ideas and they expend more resources.
You implement.
Yeah, they're implementing.
Strategies.
They're doing the strategy.
No.
You try to say our government has implemented no strategy? That you try to say?
What I'm saying is that the strategies that the state are employing at this time seem to be ineffective and inefficient. They
so you
do
want
not strike
to add
the target.
More strategy.
No, I want a shift. I want a fundamental shift.
Explain what you mean by shift.
For example.
Yes, go ahead.
The superintendent of road traffic ended the year by telling us that there were 8,000 plus accidents in total in the country, and roughly 50% of those vehicles were not insured.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how he ended the year. This is in the midst of a refusal of the state to right the confusion or to clarify the confusion with the turn left on red law, right? The state has not acted to provide the resources to either to put up signs, whether they say you can turn here or you cannot turn here. The police in response have said, we're not enforcing that law at all. The public's response to that is hold my beer because I'm driving. I'm going to start turning right on red. I'm going to start ignoring stop signs entirely. And I definitely don't care about pedestrian crossings. That's been the public's response to the state's lack of response to turn left on red fiasco. Here's a simple strategy that the police can use.
I'm still waiting.
That's because you don't like words.
I just say there's a lot of words, but you ain't saying much, man.
Go ahead. I'm listening. I'm saying plenty, Mr. Newry. You just got to listen.
What you want our police to do? That's what I'm asking. What you want them to do?
I want them to stop and think and stop being so impulsive.
What does
pause.
That mean?
That means, like you must pause.
I'm pausing.
And think as opposed to talking. The second part is this. Often we see the police on the road conducting traffic exercises. Mm-hmm. They stand in the middle of the road or on the side of the road in areas where traffic offenses don't normally take place. But all they're doing is checking stickers on the window of the car. They're not actually employing a strategy. It has become a tax collection exercise. If those police officers were assigned to areas where abnormally high traffic amounts of traffic incidents occur, infractions occur, their mere presence will begin to moderate behavior. But by using traffic offenses as the first contact with a potential suspect, a potential person, if that's the police's perspective, you employ your officers in areas where you're most likely to witness and interact with traffic offenses. You can stop those people, and then you can begin your interrogation because now you have a reason to stop them in the road.
I see we have a caller, but what if I tell you the police force say they're doing that already?
They're not. And that's the point I'm making. That what they're actually doing is just a tax collection exercise.
They get guns off the street all the time.
Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Cecil, and good morning to the nation.
Morning.
You know, Aaron, I always agree with you with something, but I disagree with you with when you said that they're not doing enough. You know something? What you need and others need to listen to? The minister, Jomo Campbell, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And what resonated in my mind is that he said that how many parents, right, really know what their children into?
Hold on. So you mean Jomo Campbell came to the House of Assembly and he didn't talk about his job. He talked about the parents' job.
But hold on.
No.
What ministry? I want to know what minister
Aaron,
he is. What minister
Aaron?
Is he? Know what minister he is. I would say that first and then so I can understand. What
I think he's about the Minister of Agriculture or something.
And he
like
ain't
that.
Talk about agriculture? And we in an agricultural crisis?
Give me a second.
He was talking.
Give me a second.
Hold on.
Why do we in this country do not want to take self-responsibility?
Mute it for me. Don't go nowhere, DeWitt. Mute it for me, please, producer. DeWitt. Pause. Second of all, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Why does the minister not want to take responsibility? Right? That's why I was asking you, attempting to ask you, was the minister speaking as an MP or was he speaking as a cabinet minister? Right? And if he's speaking as an MP and he attempts to address the contribution or lack thereof of parents into childhood development, did he as a MP sit with the Minister of Social Services, the Director of Social Services? Did he sit with any technocrats to ensure that what he was saying was sound? Because to me, initially, it sounds like the minister is shifting responsibility. I don't want to hear politicians talking about what parents should be doing unless they're the Ministry of Social Services.
Mind you, I would be remiss not to say that the Minister of Agriculture was at the scene
Ms.
of this
Green.
Murder.
Oh, God.
Hey, DeWitt, you back?
Hi. Cecil.
Go ahead.
Mr. Jomo Campbell came there on behalf as him being a representative of one of his constituents that was
shot. Which one was his constituent?
The gentleman.
The gentleman? Who the gentleman is again?
I don't know. You know. Mr. I don't Smith. Call nobody name.
Oh, okay. Right? Just making sure. Because I know who the gentleman is.
It's in the papers. It's Mr. Smith.
He said he was like a former client or something like that.
Right. He was speaking. I'm Miss Green and Cecil. Let me tell you all
what
about
this. Jomo Campbell,
Miss Gippins alluded to the same thing. These parents, Miss Green and their family members, the police don't know who got no gun in their house.
Listen. Pause.
Come on, man.
Pause. I put you on pause. So, you tell me who's making guns in the Bahamas. Tell me who's making guns in the Bahamas.
The parents.
Tell me how do the vast majority of guns come to the Bahamas. See, because the Prime Minister didn't come to Bahamian parents and say, I need you to solve the gun problem. The Prime Minister of the Bahamas went to the United States of America and sat down with the federal government and said, we need to create a strategy to prevent the illegal movement of guns from the U.S. into the Bahamas and the wider Caribbean. Right? How do the guns, producer unmuted for me, how do the guns get here? What I'm saying is that this seems like producer, open. I don't know how to unmute it. I don't want to hang it up by accident. DeWitt, you there?
Yes, well, I'm ready.
Oh, good stuff. Sorry about that, DeWitt. I didn't know.
That's a small thing.
Yeah,
But Ms. Green, all I am simply saying, right?
Uh-huh.
The same thing the press lays on our officer, hats off to Ms. Skippins.
Yes.
Right? She's saying the same thing. Ms. Green, listen to me. Right now, as you sit in that studio and Cecil sit in that studio, do you know someone who have a gun?
No.
Illegal gun?
No.
How many people in this country have family members with illegal gun or illegal illegalness in their house and they don't say nothing?
Few.
Now, let me ask you a question, DeWitt. How many people have licensed shotguns that they have for an irregular purpose? They have no intention of using it for the purpose that they were authorized to use it for. How many people you know like that?
Lots of people.
Okay, then.
I know none.
All right? Lots of people. But what I'm saying to you, right, Ms. Green, as a citizen and as a person who's passionate for this country, listen to me. I will say this, and I can say this again. The crime ain't going to stop. The killing ain't going to stop until some of the family members, the friends, the family, the lovers step up to the plate. Look here. My son have a gun in the house. Call the police. Okay? My daughter have gun or drugs in the house. Call the police. Why they don't do that? But you know what? You know what? Everybody cry and make noise. Oh, the government need to do this. Oh, the police need to do this. Oh, the Ministry of National Security need to do this. Oh, the Prime Minister need to do this. But what are you doing with your children who have something illegal in your house?
That's, DeWitt, see, this is what I'm trying to say to you. Everybody understands that and accepts that.
Thank you very
that.
Much, DeWitt.
Everybody understands and accepts that. I don't need Jomo Campbell. I don't need Skippins to come on the radio, on the television, and tell me that.
Obvious.
What I need them to do is to devise strategies. When you find yourself unable to do the job, the ethical thing to do is to tender your resignation, continue to shift blame.
1 minute, Aaron. Let's go back to focus. You was giving me strategies, right? I find it uneasy that Jomo Campbell, the Ministry of Agriculture, is speaking on it when the Minister of National Security, where the Minister of Legal Affairs, the Prime Minister have yet to speak on. These are the people I expect to lead the charge and the Commission of Police to tell me what is this particular strategy you're saying. Not agriculture, but I appreciate.
Right.
Mind you, I appreciate the fact that he was on the scene and mentioned that the gentleman, who's known to the police, apparently, he is familiar with, that he lives inside his constituency, and even mentioned that he knows him from his job. I'm not sure what Jomo Campbell used to do, but he mentioned that he knows him from a professional aspect, right? But me, as a constituent, listening and seeing, you know, it gets me uneasy and say, man, it's the same thing I'm talking about, you know? I'm uneasy. And I need to have confidence in my politicians. I need to have confidence in my police officers. And I understand your criticism, you know. And I appreciate your criticism. But without continuously bashing our police and administration, what suggestions
Stop. Ain't nobody bashing. A critique is not bashing the police.
No?
Let me tell you a story. The punch has been in operation since what? Had been in operation since 1989. My whole conscious life, the punch tells story after story after story of police discontent, police protest, and this term go slow, which is the formal police protest. For 30 plus years, the police have been protesting themselves the conditions within which they are forced to work. A critique of the police force is not bashing them.
Mm.
And I would like to admonish every politician, particularly the Minister of National Security, Wayne Monroe, that creates this environment where the only conversation you could have is, I love the police and I hug them up every night before they go to bed, or I'm a demon and a monster and I want to get rid of all police. There are upstanding, right-thinking citizens who can critique the police and still believe in law and order and support the officers and the mechanisms of the state. This is not bashing them. But is the truth, though, is that the police are only engaged in two types of activities, anti-gang activity and tax collection activities. And a shift in strategy, looking to other jurisdictions similar to ours, both culturally and legally, the solutions are right there waiting for us.
Let's go to the caller. I want you to still go back now, wicked of
what solutions. The solutions are.
Yes.
Good morning, caller.
Happy New Year, Aaron Green.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Nuri.
Blessings, inshallah.
And Happy New Year to the whole entire Bahamas from the balcony. We've been given solutions for solutions in 2023. And we want to continue to do that in 2024.
Yes, sir.
They say we're talking garbage, but what is the main solution? The government is not looking at. And they say they don't need it for New Providence, but they need it only for the Family Island, which is silly. It's called local government.
Yep.
Local government is the primary solution, one of the primary solutions, Mr. Nuri, to the system. We need the community to watch community, to make decisions for the community, tell the center what to do, or we didn't do it, we do it ourselves.
Yes, sir.
To other means.
Yes, sir.
You get the programs on the table. But then again, the central government are dictating everything and not giving solutions.
Yes, sir.
We are here on your show and other shows, get numerous of solutions. I want the ministers and the MPs to take note, and the opposition. Local government for New Providence to put a serious bite into crime.
Absolutely.
Happy New Year, and I'll see you soon.
Thank you so much. Caller that just hung, let's go to this next caller quickly, producer. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning. How you do?
I'm good. You know, listening to everybody put in their 5 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Talking is not working because apparently the government is not listening. And that's very causable. We can see that from what's actually happening. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
Talking is as if you're talking to the rock. You're trying to get blood over a stone. The government is not listening. Just like how Mr. Campbell said, he knows the gentleman from San Francisco. So the lifestyle of that gentleman, do you think he didn't have some idea before now? I mean, come on now. We have friends.
Mm-hmm.
We all have friends. And most of the time, we will hear our friends say things that we know is not right and ignore it and then expect a better outcome. You understand me? The government themselves are not following the rules. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. If they would do what they're supposed to do and lead by example, you understand me?
Mm-hmm.
Freedom of information. See, why are you afraid to step up the freedom of information? What is it that we're going to find out, the public is going to know about you that you don't want us to know?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
What? When you hiding things, what do you expect for other people to do? These people look up to you.
For example,
so if you step out and say, okay, this is what I'm doing, here is the open book, then I'm pretty sure you have a lot of persons that follow you. You know, some people follow people blindly, you know. So if they see you doing better, you don't think these homes will start to do better too?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
So you said shift the paradigm. Find solutions. List some solutions that we can employ, that the listening audience can start agitating, say, hey, MP, hey, Commissioner of Police, hey, legal fraternity. These are the things I think is urgent to employ.
I mean, we've got two excellent solutions. The first, Pumpkin Eater, put on the table. Real, functional local government in New Providence. Shift the power structure, shift the channels of responsibility, bring the tasks and the decision-making closer to home in the community. It empowers your community members. It also drives more effective and efficient solutions. Let's see, we got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Ms. Newey.
Morning.
Ms. Newey. Yeah, you know, listening to the conversations, and I have a better overview after listening to Scoochie and
Reed.
Carlos.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd spoken to Carlos right after he said something, so I didn't agree with everything he was saying. And Scoochie and Carlos together is remarkable, is the amount of insight they have what's going on in the city along with other people. So I would know all of these guys. And the thing is, Carlos revealed some data that was very frightening, right? But enlightening. And so he said that there are over 400 suspects, you know, which means they allege, out on bail for murder, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what is certain for me, that is a huge number for a small island. And so then, the system, obviously, is the judge, them would have to follow the law. I'm not going to lambast the judges and all of the judiciary and all of that. They're just following the guidelines. What I'm saying is, Then we heard about the reasons. Like I said before I even spoke, started to speak, there's a compound, there's a compilation, or there are a lot of variables involved in fighting crime. So we look at our communities where these police officers who are joining the force, where they are coming from, because they love to kill too. And then we look at the proliferation of guns. And schools didn't comment on it. But schools and college can tell you, and Aaron, I don't know, see anyone in the city. You notice that the young people have this propensity, they have this desire to kill. You know, they wear teardrops underneath their eye to show whatever it is. They see that when they shoot someone, somebody's coming back to shoot them, but they still wouldn't curtail their move, their behavior. So what happens is the gang problem has ballooned or blossomed. So a problem so great now that I don't even think the police have an idea what's going on, because if they had an idea what is going on, they would have been trying everything in their God-given abilities to curtail this foolishness which is going on. Now, you may say it hasn't. One of the compounding factors, too, is immigration, and you mightn't even believe it. If you don't know what's coming into your country, why are you talking about guns and people coming in illegally? You don't know what they bring in. You don't know who they are, but all of these sophisticated criminals they bring in from, supposed to go back to Haiti, they calling them behemoths, they bringing them back here, they talking like American. I passed and hear a conversation with some of them the other day on Wolf Road. And you know, I mean, listen, these people, listen to me, it's all of us. But what I'm saying is, we are in a danger zone. All right? We're looking at the police coming from these communities. So why is it that we are naive to say that the gang culture is not in the police force? The gang culture is not this way. The gang culture is not that way. It is everywhere. It has confluenced and infiltrated our society to the core that we don't have no idea what it is. Or we just sit and talk. We should be beyond conversations. We have to show. We need some serious intervention. We need about 3,000 guys at Carlos Reed in every tentacle of this society. Because, you know, I thought my generation was. But I mean, I see the mindlessness, the broad daylight killing. They don't care for who they are. And yet still, even if the person is caught, that's in the front of a school, right, CNUE? Yep. That's in the public. You can't come out of jail because you need to be sure that these are the people. When you talk about things like hanging, you know, we see the injustices as far as poverty and the equity and expense and justice with the poor. So you can't just say hang, because there are different reasons for somebody killing someone. You can't. I wouldn't say hang everybody that kills someone. There might be a reason for it. But there are certain guidelines that someone said like they should start hanging or killing somebody. I mean, execute some of these mindless idiots around your mind area.
Thank you, 52.
They think, like, school said something very important.
52. No, I got 52.
Not because you killed someone, means someone's scared of you.
Right, but 52, let me share something with you. I let you go. I want to share this with you. I understand it entirely. Young, mindless people, no matter the age, walking around with guns in their hands is a terrible, terrible state, right? We have a broader crisis than that, 52. We have a whole bunch of mindless people driving around in cars, in control of vehicles that the law will regard as a weapon in the right circumstances. Like the earlier caller said, and you said, the gang culture is rooted in everything. Young people learn this behavior from somewhere. And all us adults are doing is modeling bully and gang culture in every space, the church, the school, in businesses, in the homes, in the communities, and most importantly, on the road, the public space we all share. I want to say thank you very much, 52, for joining me. Producer, let's go to that last caller. And boy, Mr. Newry, we got a bunch of texts to read.
You can try.
I read through some of those texts. I had a whole bunch of music to play today, but let people get off of their chest what's on their chest. Good morning, caller.
Hello, sister.
Go ahead.
Blessings. Morning. Welcome to On the Clock.
This is Simeon Hall. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, sir. How are you?
Absolutely. I wish you a good year as you seek to raise the consciousness of our people with positive, most times positive conversation. I commend you.
Thank you, sir.
One of the things we didn't get here with crime overnight. Mm-hmm. There are several, a multitude of variables we have to consider, one of which is criminality is woven into the fabric of our country, of our country's history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, slavery was criminal. Colonialism was criminal.
Mm-hmm.
And until we address those things, that's a factor. Now, I think we need to send a stronger message to the criminal element in our country, mm-hmm. and the judiciary and the lawyers and all that. My problem, I think, and perhaps a generalization, is that some lawyers, I say some lawyers, make their money off crime. Now, they also go to Parliament and they make the law that addresses crime. So we cannot depend on the jurists and the legal fraternity to help us with this. They have a contribution to make. Mm-hmm. But I think the community, this is where local government comes in, the community must not in any way participate in crime. Mm-hmm. If we take a variety of ways, and all of them positively addressing this crisis, we should be able to at least douse this criminal spirit in our country. We don't make guns here.
Yes.
We don't make guns in the Bahamas. So how do they come in? Do they come in from Lycett Key or whatever key? We need to address these things head on. Now, one last point comes to mind. In America, I think I'm right, there's a public defender.
Yes.
And he isn't paid. But can we get some lawyers who are public defenders to defend innocent people, and then let's try to get those who are criminal. Some people, we must face the fact, some persons should not be on among civil society.
Some people have shown that they are unable to, at the current time, be a part of civil society.
That's what I believe. So, if we, you know, you might be ambivalent on hanging. I have problems with hanging myself. But we should come to the point where we recognize that there are rules. A fella out on bail for four murders. What can we expect? I'm saying we need to have some way we need to address these things and to face head on this criminal spirit. That's how I feel, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. Absolutely. That was Reverend Simeon Hall. We've had a number of texts. I want to read the text quickly before we go. I want to apologize to all the texters. Yesterday, there was a technical difficulty with the phone, and we were unable to retrieve the text before the end of the show. Here's a text. Great show, as usual. We need to hang, and also the police need to break people's constitutional rights to break crime. I know y'all cussing me saying that, but it is what it is. Y'all kids too rude, and some of y'all have poor behavior problems, and it's mostly in the poor areas. Okay, first of all, that is a misnomer. That is mostly in the poor areas. You could see what's happening in the poor areas. That's all. You can see there's more exposed in those areas, but trust me. Another text, and yeah, we can't go against the Constitution. Another text here. Aaron, when the PLP was in opposition, they carried the FNM to Hades about murders and crime. Now they're in power. All you hear from them is excuses, promises, and going back in time. You're in charge now. Fix it. Both parties canceled programs. The PLP canceled Jeff Lloyd's program. Mr. Reed was also being political, but I think the point still stands. And the wider public called in to address it. The wider public put their position on the table, which is, we want to get rid of the stop, review, cancel mandate as it is. You can't just come in and stop, review, and cancel everything because it's your party's time. Now, that's a solid point made by callers. This is definitely a constitutional issue, as raised. There's a headline in today's Tribune, monitoring of some criminals after sentence a consideration. Have you considered the Constitution yet? Have you considered the Constitution yet?
Anyway, Aaron, before you go, before mm-hmm. you close the show, mm-hmm. I am concerned when I seen MPs, like it's like two or three of them now, particular party, coming to the scenes of murders, of people who are known to the police, say, I know them personally. I'm just uneasy with it, and it's getting too often. And I want to let the chairman know, tell the MPs them, don't be going to these scenes where these people are known to the police and say, they's my friend. Stop it.
Also,
stop it.
This term, known to the police, the legal fraternity, I would like to see the Bar Association, the judiciary, we need to have a public discussion about the proper use of the term, known to the police.
You don't like that?
And whether it is a breach of a person.
The police know them well. The two of them, the police knew them well. And the MPs know them well too.
Listen, something big happening on January the 13th. The Nassau Cruise Port and Zaymar Production presents Phil Stubbs Live this January the 13th. Also performing Nishi LS and Iris Store and the Spank Band. Tickets, $50 for general admission, $75 for VIP. Tickets are available at BahamasTickets.com, at the Plantation Bar and Grill, Caves Height, and Manicio at the mall at Marathon. Doors open at 7 p.m. Showtime starts at 9 p.m. Be there. It's Phil Stubbs time. Oh, and don't forget, Nishi LS and Iris Store and the Spank Band will be there too. Thank you for joining me on the clock this morning, Texas. You know I couldn't read some of these texts. It's okay, we good. I ain't reading them.
Stop showing up to these scenes. Stop, what you know them. Stop it. Be watching you.
You producer, you playing Bonefish Foley?
Well,
play what you playing. Turn it up.
I know too much people who known to the police.
Listen, Phil Stubbs is a master storyteller. Phil Stubbs could help us with spatial awareness.
I can start telling stories with it.
Remind us of who we are.
You can sing songs.
And where we
stop
are.
Stop it. Just tell him stop it.
Spatial awareness.
Yeah, spatial awareness. It's offend me. He says, how you know him?
You guys stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. That's the day. Now sit back, relax, and watch Granny pull the hotel and wheel all around. Merrily, merrily dancing to that droll Bahamian sound. And with a pipe in her mouth, she said, I can't stop now. See, the rhythm got me, and we need to teach these youngsters anyhow. As they put on their show, the fellas acting macho. For them down home girls and their pretty girls, to and fro, oh yeah. Those cool trees, so nice and shady. Day after day, passing the time away. That's the Bahamian way.